Be seated. Let us pray. Indeed, gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for the opportunity to gather, to be the people of God, to come and to hear your word, to share in the singing and praising and the Lord's Supper. Lord God, the gift of worship is indeed that, a gift. But it is also a promise of your presence with us, encountering us, shaping us, renewing us, indeed enlivening us. So Lord God, encounter us now in the way, in the places that we need to hear your word, so that we, Lord God, might be changed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, this week, pretty often as a pastor, people ask you, so what are you preaching about, you know, this Sunday? And, you know, usually I say, well, about 10 to 12 minutes, usually my answer. But a lot of times they'll say, so no, what are you talking about? What's your topic? And I'll say, well, I'm talking about Jesus, right? I'm going to be talking about Jesus this week. And you know what? And that's always true. But this week, it's even more true. Because literally, as a second part of our Nicene Creed preaching series, last week we talked about our understanding of God the Father. This week, I'm literally talking about the second article of the Creed. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ. So we come together today to talk about Jesus. Now, it may seem that that is a pretty easy thing for us to do as the people of God. However, I would submit that it hasn't always been that easy for the people of God to understand what it means to say that we believe and trust and hope and put our lives in the promise of Jesus the Christ who is risen from the dead. And we need only look at the creed that we share to notice that. I invite you to turn to our creed, which we will be saying. It's in the middle of your bulletin there on page 6. And look at that second stanza. Now, one of the things that people will say to us, and we do the creed every week, and other things that we do, people will say, well, you people that do all that kind of liturgy, well, what happens is it just becomes rote and you forget about that. And I understand that criticism. However, there is something powerful in reminding ourselves yet again and again and again of what these things mean for us in our lives. And particularly as we look at this Nicene Creed, I would invite you to look at that in a new way perhaps today. Now, as the people of God, we have said and you have said over your lifetime, we believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God. And then we get to some kind of funky language that we don't say a whole lot. Eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. We say that regularly. But what does that mean? And why is that there? And what in the world does begotten mean, right? Well, that's there because the early church was trying to decide what it believed about Jesus. You see, there were a couple of schools of thought. There were people who believed that Jesus was God. That Jesus was, as we teach in our Trinitarian understanding, that Jesus was the embodiment of God, Emmanuel, God with us. But there were others who said, no, Jesus was not God. Jesus was the first created being. In fact, if they'd had cars back then, they would have had a bumper sticker that said, there was a time when he was not. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but that was a really, really big deal back in the day. As a matter of fact, people died over that. And so the church got together. Emperor Constantine wanted everybody to get together, and they came together to put together, what do we understand about God? And there were a couple of people that were the leaders. One guy was named Athanasius. That was actually in the running for Noah when he was first born. I was like, what if we named our son Athanasius? You know, that would be really cool. Athanasius, well, was only in the running for as long as Heidi humored me. But Athanasius And then there was this dude named Arius, Athanasius and Arius, all right? And Athanasius believed that Jesus was God, and Arius said, no, he wasn't. Said, he's awesome. He was the first created being, but the Father created him. And they got in a big fight, an argument, and Athanasius won. And we trust the Holy Spirit was leading that process. And so Athanasius won, and so the church went down the road of Jesus being understood as God. But Arius still had some influence. And he could actually influence different leaders of the church from time to time. And wherever Arius could influence the leaders, they would call all the people that followed Athanasius a heretic, and they would send them all to hell. And then Athanasius would influence somebody and they would take over and then they would tell the Arians that they were going to hell as heretics. So you see, the church has a long history of fighting over who Jesus is. And indeed, that still goes on today. One of the growing trends in our United States are people who claim atheism. And indeed, one of the stumbling blocks for so many people that I know that are good-hearted, loving people is Jesus. Do we believe that Jesus is God? You see, perhaps if Arius would have won, it would have been a little bit easier for people. Oh, no, Jesus isn't God. He's just the first created being. Oh. You know, kind of like a religious Hercules. God is a father and a human mom, right? Maybe that would work for us. However, that's not what we say. See, in our text today, we say, we believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father. God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made. Now you say that. Now you know what that means. That is a Athanasius in your face to Arius. Begotten, not made. One, being with the Father, through him all things were made. From the very beginning, this creed is about saying that Jesus is God, knowing that it will be a stumbling block, knowing that it will be hard. But friends, it has to be that way. You know, we just got back from our men's retreat and we had a conversation about what does it mean to be a Jesus admirer and a Jesus follower. And you know what? Being an admirer of Jesus is actually pretty easy and pretty cool. We can admire Jesus, whether you see Jesus as the righteous king who has come to judge the sinners, or you see Jesus as the hippie radical who's preaching peace and love, or whether you see Jesus as the prayerful one in the garden who is lifting up his cares to God as a model for us all. However it is that picture is for you and your life, it is easy to admire Jesus. What is downright difficult is following Jesus. I know. I walk that road stumbling time after time after time. Because Jesus will oftentimes call us into places that we would rather not go. And you know, when all we have to do is admire Jesus, when we say, well, Jesus really wasn't God, he was the first created being, he's somebody we should respect and look at, but you know, I don't need to follow that. That means that our understanding of Jesus as indeed Emmanuel, God with us, is that much more vital. And indeed, that much more healing. Because in the message of Jesus, as we say here, for us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. You see, we say about Jesus this crazy, radical thing that gets in the way for so many people, but it is vital to understand God as Jesus is fully God and fully human, so that we can make sense of what this God has done for us. It is the God who comes near. The God who is not afraid to get messy in our world with you and me. A God who is not afraid to share our pain, our suffering, our hurt. A God who revels in living into our joy and blessing. A God who has come near to us in Christ. And if that was just a created being and God the Father really didn't experience in that, then I tell you, friends, why should we follow that God? If I am going to give my life and change my life, it must be for a God who is God enough to experience everything that we experience. From birth to death. From joy to sorrow. From hope to hopelessness. From uncertainty to faith. Our God in Jesus Christ is that. Friends, we gather in the name of Jesus, and that means something. Because if it wasn't for what we say about Jesus, we might as well just be a really cool Rotary Club or Moose Lodge or an adult version of the service fraternity in college, Alpha Phi Omega. We might as well just be that. But no, what we say is we gather in the name of the one who proclaims to us that our God is in it, fully in it with us. And that we can dedicate our life to that and to that message so that this world might know it too. That the people for whom Jesus is a stumbling block, for the world that may or may not always trust Him, that we could be witnesses to that and say, oh, we understand. As a matter of fact, our faith has gone through that before. But ours is a belief and a confession. David Lose, who many of you know, who preached here in this very pulpit last year, who is now the new president of the seminary at Philadelphia, our Lutheran seminary at Philadelphia, wrote a book called Confessing Jesus Christ. And he said that that is at the very heart of who we are as the people of God. Indeed, that is the one message that we have for this world of fractured religion, in a world of pluralism, in a world that isn't really ready to claim Jesus. He said the only thing we have to offer them that is worth anything at all is our confession of who Jesus is. And people of God, we stand up here every day, every Sunday, and we say, we believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God. Through Him, all things were made. We claim Jesus as the God who has come near, who is unafraid of our sin and shame and messiness, a God who is willing to be here. That is our confession. That is what we have. And friends, that is who we are. So as you say this creed today, maybe for the first time, ruminate on what it is that you are saying. And why that matters, not only for you, but for your neighbor down the street, for the people that Rachel will visit in Peru, for your brothers and sisters in this room, for your friends in the churches down the valley, and indeed, for yourself. and how God is shaping us all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.